You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
And welcome into Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5. The game, Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth, taking you through this Monday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. Fellas, how we doing this morning? How was everybody's weekend?
Great. Not as active as your weekend, apparently.
I'm in tremendous pain. Tremendous physical pain.
Like you right now are sitting there and you're screaming in pain. Your body is screaming out.
Yeah. Like I think my groin on Saturday... Like hiking back down this mountain that I did, and I don't want to spend too much time on the program talking about my groin, but it was in a lot of pain. It was in a whole lot of pain.
I never want to hear about your groin.
Well, I'm sorry, I just broke that rule.
Thank you for the specific. You know, you broke away from lower body. You gave us
I mean, knees, calves, quads, hammy. I mean, whatever you want to throw out there, it hurts.
It's all hurting.
Yeah.
And you hiked how much? Did you hike?
We hiked 11 miles. On Saturday,
wow.
We went up over 5,500 feet in elevation to go up to Mount LeConte in Gatlinburg. And it was a hike, let me tell you.
Yeah.
It took, to get up and all the way back down, it took about 7.5-8 hours. It was something else.
That's awesome.
I learned I am in awful shape, just atrocious shape. My wife just powered her way up there. No problems. Came back down, no problems. She's hurting a little bit today, but nothing.
That's impressive that you did that. It sounds like nothing I'd like to ever do, but
me either.
Have you done that before though?
No.
Oh, okay, it's first time.
We just did it. Yeah. Okay. This was an anniversary present to my wife. She wanted to take a hike, so today is our 1 year anniversary. So happy anniversary!
Oh, happy anniversary!
Happy anniversary!
I appreciate you. Man. She's definitely asleep right now, but happy anniversary, darling. I love you.
There you go. You say it later, too.
Yeah, I will.
Yeah.
I will.
She's up.
What y'all getting into this weekend?
Watch a lot of football,
yeah.
Basically. Yeah.
Watch a lot of football with the in-laws.
Oh, yeah.
All the in-laws were
impressive.
In town this weekend. All of them. Every single one of them.
A lot of them, I would assume, Bears fans, right?
Yes. A lot of them are Bears fans.
Yeah.
So yesterday was a little bit of sweet, I won't say justice, but it felt pretty good. Felt good, including the wife is a Bears fan.
Any of them wearing some Nick Foles jerseys?
None of them.
Put them on fire after yesterday.
Nor Trubisky jerseys. But, yeah.
Wait, why were all the in-laws in town?
There was a family wedding.
Oh, okay. On
Friday night.
Oh, right. Well, why would they burn a Nick Foles jersey when he went 36 for 52, 335 yards, and 2 touchdowns?
I mean, just,
with a quarterback rating of 99.4.
Yeah, I mean, he was balling out there yesterday.
All those numbers look great to me.
Yeah, look great to me, too. Didn't you just get the sense yesterday that the Titans were in trouble all game long with Nick Foles? He had them right where he wanted them the whole time. Just down, not scoring points.
I'm going to quote a certain 13-year-old I know. Bears are trash.
Bears are trash. The Titans with a 24-17 win yesterday against the Chicago Bears. And oh my goodness, Joe, the defense, they showed up. We're going to talk about this a lot here in the show today, but the defense, like, played well yesterday. I didn't even know what to do. And I'll be honest with you, like, coming into the game with no Clowney in there, Beasley out the door, the 12 roster moves they made on Saturday, I was like, ooh, this could be really rough. We talked about it all last week. Something has to give here. Like, this Bears offense has been horrible. The Titans defense has been horrible. The Titans defense, they went out at the end of the day.
Yeah. I mean, they got – I mean, this looked like a game where you're playing against a practice squad offensive line, you know?
Yeah.
Versus a week earlier. But there was definitely a different energy out there. I don't think there's any question about that. And sometimes it's like, hey – here's some young guys that are undrafted free agent, practice squad guys, and you know what? They're getting an opportunity, and they're excited about it. Versus, hey, Vic, come on, man. Are you into this? Let's get into this, you know? I mean, I think that's something you can't just dismiss as a thing here. But you talk about Roberson, I thought, looked good. I mean, Desmond King obviously gets a touchdown. I mean, he's going to help. Even, like, Tyre Tart.
Yeah.
Tyre Tart gets out there. Breon Borders,
Borders
is out there blasting
yeah.
people. You know? Breon Borders is on his eighth team right now. His eighth team. Undrafted free agent out of Duke. He's going to end up, you know, half the league before he's done. But, man, he was out there playing, taking advantage of the opportunity.
He was.
Kind of fun to watch.
I thought Daquan Jones yesterday, yeah. that was the best game I've seen him play in a very long time. He was outstanding yesterday.
He was, and that was, again, it's like the thing you don't talk about as much with this defense, but it's such a big deal, you know, when teams can get those, pop you for those 10 and 12 yarders on the ground here and there, and they didn't let David Montgomery do anything. You know, 56 rushing yards for the Bears on 20 rushes, that's big. And I agree, he was great, and Harold Landry was great.
Yeah.
Harold Landry has been playing hard all year. He actually got home and made some plays yesterday, and he was big time.
He was big time, finished with a sack yesterday. The defense gets 3 sacks as a whole, which, my goodness, I mean, 3 sacks in one game. I didn't even know what to do with myself watching the Titans and the pass rush there. It was pretty incredible.
They're on pace for 20 now. They were on pace for 16. They are now on pace for 20. And that third down D goes from 62 down to I wrote it.
I think
in my
it's 55 and a half or something like that, isn't it?
I've got it in my column today. I'll go find the math that I've already done. I think it's 54 or something.
Okay. But 2 of 15 on third down yesterday for the Bears, which obviously you've talked about it. Like, at some point there's got to be a dramatic flip the other way coming, and it happened yesterday. 2 of 15 on third down. I think the Bears started 0 for 9. On third down, and then converted like a third and 16 or whatever it was.
Yes, their first one was late in the third. It was third and 16. Every time they had a third and long, I was like, nah, they got the Titans where they want them. And then they finally converted that. But, yeah, then they went back to not converting them. So, you know, it's amazing to even watch a Titans defense – you know, actually play up to what the stereotype of the Titans is, actually. Yeah, it's 55.4% now. So they went from 60 to 97. Now it's 62 of 112. 55.4%. That's still blow away the NFL record.
Yeah.
But that's pretty amazing to go 7% down in one day.
Tell you how bad it was.
I guess whenever you need to fix your third down defense, just face the Bears offense.
Apparently so.
Yeah.
And to that point, we have a poll question up at 102.5 The Game on Twitter. What do you credit more for yesterday's Titans win against Chicago? Is it the Titans stepping up, or is it the Bears' offense being awful? Let us know at 102.5 The Game on Twitter. I think it's a little bit of both, but if I had to lean one way, I think the Bears have a lot to do with it.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what people think about this, because again, this is one of those, you know, what's your perspective? What's your perspective on things? Are you a sunshine blower? Are you a doom and gloomer? Or are you somewhere in between?
I had this sunshine blower thought last night.
Oh boy.
Regarding this Titans game. Well, it was more of, even though the Bears' offense was atrocious, could a performance like that from the defense yesterday, like, give them confidence moving forward that they can actually be somewhat good or yeah. average rather than what we've seen the first few weeks?
Yeah, I think that's a reasonable takeaway. I really do. I mean, Desmond King, I think, is going to – I mean, he's not going to score every game. You know, that was a nice gift TD for him. But I think he's going to be solid. He's going to help. Adoree Jackson at some point. Adoree Jackson has to be activated by Wednesday. Here's another week. I promise you this week I'm right. Adoree Jackson is going to be an active member of the roster. And I don't know when he'll play, but they can put him on the active roster and keep scratching him for as long as they need to. But, you know, Clowney, those guys did a good job yesterday. Wyatt Ray, you know, came in there, gave him a little depth. But Roberson was close a few times when Landry or somebody else was there. Like, Roberson was the next guy there. But still, you got to get Clowney back and get more out of him. But, yeah, I do. I think so. I mean, Simmons is playing really well again. I think he had one game that he wasn't doing much, and maybe the ankle injury had something to do with that, but he's a force. I mean, he makes kind of a game-shifting play. Even in all these games where they haven't played well, he's made, like, some big play
yep.
Did it again yesterday. Almost had that pick, too. So, yeah, I think that this is a confidence builder. It should be. And it's just they have sort of gone into that, like we've talked about, that Preds power play 2 years ago, where it's like, oh, here it is, third down. They're not going to face probably another offense that's as feeble as this one, though. I mean, that's the only thing. I don't know. What would be the next worst offense on the schedule?
I mean, it depends on, like, which version of the Lions show up, but or maybe the Jags. I don't know. But, yeah, pretty bad.
Or Thursday night's opponent.
Well, could be.
They're lower on the list. It's all around solid team, good defense. But, yeah, their receivers aren't scaring anybody right now. He's not scaring anybody. That's a big – all of a sudden, everybody think the Titans are the favorites again? Is that right? I mean
– we'll see Thursday.
I guess we get that game, so we can just hold off on that, right?
Big win yesterday for the Ravens, though. You know, I didn't get hardly anything right this weekend in my predictions. I did call the Ravens by 2 touchdowns. That was nice.
That your called shot.
Yeah, buddy.
Nice job.
Thank you.
Now, someone called the shot of – was that Porth that called the shot of Desmond King scoring?
I said Byard.
Yeah, he said Byard.
I said Byard would get a pick six.
I think somebody on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, called King scoring.
Oh, that was nice. Okay, very nice. Yeah.
So we've talked about the good news of the Titans. We're going to continue to react to that all show long. We'll get your reaction on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Let's get to the bad news very quickly. The Tennessee Volunteers fall to Arkansas on Saturday, 24-13. They led 13-0 at halftime and then totally collapsed in the third quarter. Jarrett Garantano goes down with an injury in the third quarter on a play where, number one, I am shocked there was no flag on that play, but we'll get to that here in a little while. But just a total collapse by the Volunteers in the second half. And, Joe, I'll be honest, like watching that unfold in the third quarter, it just looked like more of the same. I think they've been outscored in the last 4 third quarters, 61-7. So, obviously, something ain't going right after halftime from adjustments. That's coaching to me.
Yeah, I mean, it's – sometimes I think the adjustments thing is overrated a little bit, but still, I mean, when it's that lopsided, you have to think the other side's doing some stuff that you're not reacting well to. It's gotten almost bizarre. And the thing is, the quarterback, I mean, there's a lot to pick through on that game, like not kicking the field goal, you know, the quarterback shuffle, and then you put in a quarterback and then don't let him throw, but you let him throw on fourth down.
Yeah.
But to me, like also, like the defense in the second half, what, you know, it just completely disappears. It's a mess. And I mean, my goodness, the hashtag, what's the hashtag? It's a very popular hashtag in Vol Twitter. You know what I'm talking about. I got to make,
Off Twitter
Hugh
all weekend.
Hugh to the hill.
So.
There you go. Hugh to the hill. They got to hire Hugh Freeze. They got to fire Jeremy Pruitt. They got to hire Hugh Freeze right now. Do it right now.
Yeah, there's a lot of people jumping ship off of Jeremy Pruitt. And I got some thoughts on that a little bit later in the show. But we said this would happen. If you go out and you lose to Arkansas with Sam Pittman coming in and how atrocious that program was, they were 2-10 in 2018 and 2019. 4 wins. Total. 0 in the SEC, and they come out in his first year and just blow the doors off of you in the second half. It's not going to go over well with Tennessee fans, and it has not gone over well with Tennessee fans.
And the way Texas A&M is playing right now,
they might win by 50.
It might get ugly on Saturday. And the people who are in the stands, you know, this isn't quite at all what like 2017 was when it was like the end for Butch, and it was like people are showing up just to make it known they want him gone.
Right.
That's, you know, basically why people are in but it's not going to be a good scene.
It is not going to be a good scene.
If it goes that way.
And what's the evidence we have at this point to think it's going to go any other way?
Right. I mean, he's got to find some way to have a Custer's last stand. But again, it's year 3. We'll talk about all this. I mean, it's all premature, but at the same time, I don't blame any Tennessee fan for being fed up with them.
We got a lot of things to talk about here on the show today. We'll get into the Vols to start the 7 o'clock hour, but a lot of Titans talk coming your way up next. And we'll start with the defense. What was the difference in the Titans defensively yesterday against the Bears? We'll get into that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth taking you through this Monday morning, reacting to a big Titans win yesterday, 24-17 against the Chicago Bears to move to 6-2 on the season, sole possession of first place in the AFC South. And Joe, I think the score in that game probably a little deceptive. I mean, 24-17, the Titans at one point up 24-3 in that game. Defensively, they were excellent in the first half, shut the Bears out until I believe the fourth quarter in that game, and then the Bears rolled off 17 points in the fourth quarter, and some of that was due to the Titans sitting back a little bit. Some of that was due to some questionable penalty calls as well moving down the field. But at the end of the day, the Titans get the job done, and really I thought they set the tone defensively from the first drive the Bears had on. The Bears go for it on fourth down, and the Titans are able to push through and make a critical stop on that drive, and I thought that really set the tone defensively for the rest of the game. Here's what Jeffrey Simmons had to say about that fourth down stop in the first quarter.
How big of a confidence boost was it that on that fourth down stop early for the defense? You guys make the stop, and there was a little bit of celebration at that point. How much that maybe helped you build on that in the rest of the first half?
I think that's the thing about playing defense. You know, you have to build on your momentum, and, you know, just by us flying to the ball, doing our job, especially up front, knocking the offensive line back, linebackers coming up, you know, DBs doing their job, you know, everybody doing their job. And you know, that's what we're about. You know, we came into this week, you know, we have to, you know, KB, he said it earlier in this week, you know, we have to have that swag on D. We have to bring the energy. We have to bring the juice. And, you know, all day today, you know, defense, we had that juice. We had that, we did what we talked about, and just that building on that, and then end up making the fourth, you know, fourth down stop early in the game. And, you know, that just helped us out more with the juice. So, you know, that's what we talked about all week, bringing the energy.
So, Joe, that was Jeffrey Simmons yesterday after the game. How much do you think getting those stops early on third down and even that fourth down stop there really gave the defense confidence and set the tone for what we saw yesterday defensively?
Yeah, huge. And then you go three straight three and outs from there with, of course, third down stops. Now, I will say the Titans gave up the next three fourth downs. That's the next problem for the Titans. 75% success for the Bears on fourth down. But, yeah, you're talking about your first nine third down attempts for the Bears are empty. And, again, there was some good pass rush in there. Malcolm Butler, I thought, had some big-time plays defending Allen Robinson. That was a kind of a natural matchup. Big physical receiver, Butler. I mean, he relishes stuff like that. He was all over him and had a great pass breakup on one that, tough to defend with Robinson's big body, but he got around him. And just a lot of guys playing better than they've played. Again, I do think there's an overall different energy on that defense yesterday.
Let's go back to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. John text in, Jeffrey Simmons was a complete monster all game. He deserves as much credit as anybody yesterday. He was outstanding yesterday,
well,
I thought.
And the thing about Jeffrey Simmons is, especially early in the game, he wasn't out there a lot.
Yeah.
You know, he missed a lot of practice this week, so I think the ankle, whenever the ankle happened, I think it probably affected him in Cincy, and it affected, I'll be interested to see what his snap count is. It seems like once they realized he was good, you know, he played more and more as the game went on, but I agree. I mean, he was disruptive. Like you said, Robbie, Daquan Jones really showed up yesterday and kind of patrolled that line of scrimmage against the run game. And then J.M. Brown, we haven't talked about him yet, but
he's incredible.
J.M. Brown was all over the place. You know, there's some guys in this defense we know can play and have not played like we know they can play. And so some of it is just that. But again, I think that, well, there was the word that Mike Vrabel, he did throw it in there yesterday. He said everything was coordinated, you know, and Dean Pease was in the stands, by the way.
Maybe that was the difference.
He was not, as far as I know, he had no role in the calls on the field. But it was rush and coverage coordination, again, against a weak offense.
Yeah.
So keep it in mind. But still, I think there is a reason to think this might help them moving forward. Because they were in this rut of, I think, not believing they were going to get a stop on third down.
And you brought up Jayon Brown there. 10 tackles yesterday, a sack, a tackle for a loss. I mean, he was all over the place yesterday. And we talked, I guess it's been 3 weeks ago now, about maybe not seeing the same level of play out of Jayon Brown and Kevin Byard. And I think Jayon Brown in particular has really responded well. since then. I think the last couple of games, he's been really, really good. Even going back to the Pittsburgh game, I thought he played well in that game, too. So Jayon Brown starting to look more and more like the Jayon Brown that we were used to seeing in his time with the Titans. And I know it was a slow start to him, but maybe he's the perfect example of a guy you're talking about, Joe, that we know can play better, we know has played better in his career, and now is starting to see some of the results and see some of the fruit of that come out. I thought Jayon Brown, you could make an argument he was their best player defensively yesterday.
Yeah, we mentioned Breon Borders. You know, he had 9 tackles and a pass defended, which was, again, you don't want, if your DBs are making a whole bunch of tackles, you know, that's not always a good sign. But again, the Bears were in hurry up, throw it around the field. When it gets to 17-0 and 24-3, you change how you play. And you see that a lot. Teams come back. You're not going to let the ball go over your head. You're going to let them have the short stuff. They took the short stuff. You know, they got some touchdowns, a couple touchdowns late. But I agree. I mean, Rashawn Evans also, you know, showed up a little bit more. I thought maybe we might see him on the outside some in this game. But, you know, he made an impact. 3 sacks. They had 9 quarterback hits. You know, 3 of those for Landry to go with his sack. And that's the most they've gotten after a quarterback this year, I believe.
Yeah.
And not even – I mean, I'm trying to think like early in the season. I mean, again, they got after Cousins some late in that game, but they were swarming. They were winning. Even when they dropped 8 a few times, they were winning and pushing the pocket in, which I think a lot of that is Simmons.
And let's be honest here, like a big part of the game yesterday when the offense isn't clicking as well as you would have hoped against a Bears defense that was really, really good and that pass rush was dangerous yesterday. You saw it time and time again. A big part of the game defensively is field position. And I thought Ryan Allen did outstanding yesterday. And to that point, let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Brandon from Spring Hill texts in, how about the replacement punter Ryan Allen with booming all of those punts? Brett Kern may have to fight for his job when he gets back. Yeah. I don't know if Kern's going to be fighting for his job, but I thought Ryan Allen was outstanding yesterday.
Well, I tweeted at some point, like, how's this guy not have a job in the NFL? You know? The lefty punter. Now, he does have a little bit of a line drive punt going.
Yeah.
He got good hang time on a couple of them.
And the Bears came close to blocking at least 2 of them.
Yes.
They were very close.
But Matt Overton, long snapper. No one said his name yesterday. That's what you want in a long snapper. The only reason we're saying his name is because he was new. He was fine. Ryan Allen, of course, interesting thing with him, he has been Gostkowski's holder in the past, so mm-hmm. It totally made sense. But yeah, you're talking 8 punts, average of 50.5, a long of 65. Now, before we give him Brett Kern's job, none inside the 20. You know, that's the Kern specialty, but still clutch. I mean, big-time clutch. Special teams overall was better, too. They got popped on the fake punt.
Yeah.
But Gostkowski makes his field goal, you know, get out and
see,
get in
is
and
he
get
in the
out.
Clear now?
Well, it's better.
We feel better about Gostkowski
it's
now?
It's better.
For now. For now.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a weekly thing. I mean, it's back off the DEFCON 2 or whatever it was, DEFCON 1. I don't know how close it was. But he had to be close. Like, if he had another bad day, it had to have been like John Robinson's got to start looking around. So ease that talk a little bit. But, yeah, that's a bad situation. You have to come in with a new snapper, new holder, new punter in a short week in COVID, and that could have been bad, and it all worked out fine.
So I knew we were going to get to this at some point today here in the show, and it is now on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. CD texts in, I know it's the Bears, but we get rid of Beasley, Clowney doesn't play, and then all of a sudden we can start generating some sacks. What do we make of that, Joe?
Get rid of Clowney. Cut him. He's out. You're out, Jadeveon. Thank you. Wyatt Ray will gladly take those snaps. Yeah, look, I'm going to separate those two guys. I think that Beasley, there is some addition by subtraction here, not just that these guys got the opportunity and played well and all that stuff, not just that they were playing the Bears. I think there's addition by subtraction, which I'll go to the quote from Rashawn Evans last week. Probably the one little glimpse. Everybody said all the right things. Hey, we really thank you, Vic. Thanks for, you know, great guy and all that stuff. Rashawn Evans, and now I'm trying to find it in my column, and of course I can't. But he had one of those little honest moments about Vic Beasley. Well, I'll paraphrase it. Basically, like, you got to want to, you know, you got to want to play. You got to want to be a great player. You want to be a part of something. And I think sometimes if someone's out there and everybody knows that it's just not there for them, first of all, now you're playing 10 against 11. But I think that also can be an energy suck, you know? So addition by subtraction with him, giving somebody else a chance, get some of these young guys. I mean, I think Roberson's a real nice prospect. Young guy, second year, undrafted free agent. He's got to get a little bit bigger, I think, you know, to play all three downs. But he can rush the passer. They're going to have Clowney back. They're going to need him back. And he's going to have to be a big part of this defense. And he's going to have to play better. So I think you got to separate those two. But, yes, I knew it was coming too. We knew there would be somebody saying, well, why would we ever want to see Jadeveon out there again? You want to see him out there again.
And you will see him out there again, we think, as long as injuries are not a big part of it. And that was the case yesterday, which goes back to what we talked about last week. It makes the timing of releasing Vic Beasley a little bit more interesting if you knew there was a chance for the Titans that Clowney wasn't going to play on Sunday. But I think maybe that just tells you exactly where they were with Vic Beasley. Like, hey, we don't care. We'll bring somebody else up from the practice squad at this point. It doesn't matter. That just kind of tells me how out they were and how ready to pull the plug John Robinson was on Vic Beasley.
Right. Well, here's a quote, by the way. I finally found it. So this is Rashawn Evans. Quote, players have to be mentally here and want to play at a high level. Like, he wasn't going out of his way to rip him, but it's just a little glimpse of, you know, he just, we talked about effort. He wasn't out there, you know, snap happens and he just falls to the ground. But there was no juice there. Jeffrey Simmons said juice a lot in his quote, right? I mean, that's what you got to have. And they had some yesterday. So I think that's new guys. That's him being out. And they got to carry that over now and get some of these guys back. And maybe they can be okay.
When we come back, did the Titans find a secret formula yesterday in an area where they've really been struggling all season long? We'll discuss that on the other side of the break. But first, Saturday, November 14th, make sure you join us to support Stars by running, walking, or boogieing for the Nashville Striders 20th annual Shelby Bottoms Boogie 15K and 5K run walk powered by Enterprise Rental Car. This event is perfect for the avid runner as well as the casual jogger, and it's on the certified course in the heart of Shelby Bottoms Park. You can also show your support and participate virtually. That's up to you. That's Saturday, November 14th for the Nashville Striders Shelby Bottoms Boogie to benefit Stars and powered by Enterprise Rental Car. For more information, please visit starsnashville.org. That's starsnashville.org. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rexrode here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
What adjustments did you see your group make today on third down that led to the success?
Felt like they were locked in during the week, and when we played man, they were on tight, you know, zone. We gave them some different looks out of, you know, out of the zone, and guys executed it. And then again, be able to try to affect them a little bit inside and pressure them.
That was Titans head coach Mike Vrabel after the win yesterday, 24-17 for the Titans against the Chicago Bears to improve to 6-2 on the season. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexrode here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Joe, we've got our poll question up at 102.5 The Game on Twitter. What do you credit more for yesterday's Titans win against the Bears? Is it the Titans stepping up, or is it the Bears' offense is just atrocious? So far, 155 votes. 56% says the Bears offense sucks. 44% says the Titans stepping up. So a close race right now.
Where are my sunshine people? Come on, sunshine people. Super Bowl. We should be talking Super Bowl today.
My vote was Titans stepping up.
There you go.
Attaboy, Porth. Way to go in there.
Porth brings the sunshine.
I am a hashtag sunshine blower.
My vote was the Bears offense sucks.
Man, I will reiterate. And they got the highlights of this game on right now on NFL Network. That,
by the way, can we just go on for the record and saying the baby blue jerseys with the white pants, a much better look. You're not going to win with the baby blue jerseys and the navy blue pants. The baby blue jerseys and the white pants, a winning combination.
I think, well, okay. I think that might be better. Yeah, that's probably their best look. I just like the baby blue jerseys. Whatever the pants are, I think the baby blue jerseys is a key, okay?
Okay.
But I like them with the navy pants too. But you're right, that was a sharp look yesterday.
Yeah. I actually like the baby blue jerseys with the navy pants better than with the white pants.
It's an atrocious
take. Because you have three different colors. You have the navy.
Yeah, I know
helmet,
that's the point.
You have the baby blue jersey and then the white pants. Like, I'm a big, big guy on the helmet color needs to match the pant color.
Interesting. You're a big helmet pant matcher guy. Sunshine blower and a helmet pants matcher guy. Okay. I think you may be right. I think it's close. You know, I think
well,
it
the
looks
best
good.
Look is the navy jersey and the white pants.
Yeah, I don't think
let's
so.
Let's not get overly
I don't
complicated
think it,
here.
It's like it's a different team. You know what I mean? I think the baby blue is.
Yeah, they look like they're about to punch you in the mouth
navy. I think that was their best look back in 2002.
Okay.
With the old jerseys.
Yeah.
Not these.
Okay. Okay. Look, to each their own. I'm not a fashion expert by any stretch of the imagination, so people are open to their own interpretation on this. I'm just telling you.
Yeah.
The baby blue with the white pants, a much better look than the baby blue with the navy
pants. What about the road, like, white on white?
I'm a big fan of the Stormtrooper look, league-wide.
Yeah. League-wide? Okay.
I like some Stormtrooper look.
Okay. They get a lot of options.
Yeah.
But now that they've won in these, does that matter? Like, do they make any decisions?
They wear these on Thursday
well, I don't
night?
Know. Do they make decisions, or are they going to have to have weird uniforms Thursday night? That we haven't been doing that, though.
I don't.
Right?
I think
we
that's
been
done.
Doing, that's Isn't all it? Over, right?
Yeah. Color rush?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
all.
Done.
I have no idea.
But
well,
I haven't
sure
seen
done.
It, though. Yeah.
But at some point this season, they will have the all baby blue.
Yeah. That's
they
still,
will? For sure?
Probably.
Probably. They have like one or two games a year where they have the all baby blue.
Usually that's the Thursday night, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just – I mean, look, I like baby blue, but you don't want to look like you're in jammies. And that's what they look – they had that one a few years ago. It was like they looked like they were in jammies, and the Jaguars looked like they
were
wearing –
spilled mustard all down their shirt.
They looked like the contents of a baby's diaper.
Yeah,
it really,
really
did.
Bad.
I mean, actually, I think I wrote that, like, you know, without – for the Tennessean, like, without, you know, getting – you have to be careful.
Too graphic, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't want to get into the nitty-gritty of what's in baby's diapers, but that's exactly what baby's diapers look like. That
it's
color
bad.
Of brown.
They rolled around in some peanut butter before going out on the field.
Yeah.
That's a better way to put it, probably.
Yeah, they did. So, now, the people have spoken so far. Now we're up to 174 votes, still at 56% for the Bears' offense. Sucking. So we talked about the third down defense, 2 of 15 yesterday for the Bears offensively on third down, a dramatic shift for the Titans on third down defense. Do you think they found a formula that was different yesterday, that worked yesterday, or is this simply that the Bears are who we thought they were heading into the game offensively?
I mean, they definitely played. I mean, you could certainly see. It's not like I charted every single coverage, but they certainly played man and zone. They mixed it up. Like, Nick Foles isn't a guy I think you're going to confuse. Like, Josh Allen, I think, is still a guy that maybe you can they did. They got him one time on a coverage. Nick Foles, that's not the problem. The problem is he just can't push the ball with much force. Again, I said it last week, and I'll say it again. The Titans should be glad that Mitch Trubisky wasn't available. And I know that people will laugh at that, especially probably Bears fans, but that's a guy who can run around and still make plays. Now, he may have made more mistakes than Foles. But Foles, he's limited. So I don't know if there's a formula. Every matchup's different. Every week's different. This was a bad offensive line that was banged up, and you could see it. I mean, again, if the Titans are getting pressure on you with three, and certainly with four, and I mean, three sacks, that's one thing. But they impacted the pocket a lot more yesterday than they have normally been doing. So I don't think that's an adjustment. I think that's just personnel. You know, that's what they should have done against the Bengals. Coverage, I do think that what they found was, first of all, Butler has been playing. Let's give Butler some credit this year. He's been playing pretty well. He's a pretty good corner.
Yeah.
And especially if you get a matchup like Allen Robinson, that's a perfect kind of matchup for him. So sometimes it doesn't work as well. He's not as good against the straight-up speed guys. Man, he battles. And I think Desmond King, that was a promising debut. Again, Borders, it's one game, but I liked what he gave you. I think the adjustment is you cover better and you rush better. I know, make me defensive coordinator for that brilliance. But, you know, it's simple.
Well, it is. And I think the other part is they tackled better. I mean, there were a lot of routes that, you know, Cordarrelle Patterson got the ball, and he's, you know, 5 yards short of the sticks, and a couple weeks ago, he's getting 10 yards after the catch, and I thought they did a great job yesterday. Maybe they catch the ball. It's 3rd and 9. You catch the ball, a 6-yard route, but you're wrapping them up and tackling them on the spot. I thought they were much better in that area yesterday, and sometimes maybe it's as simple as that. You just make the tackle that's in front of you rather than missing it.
No, that's a great point. Yeah, I mean, some of it, it's just like it's energy. It's It's collective. You know, there's a little bit of being connected on defense. And, yeah, just making the play, making the tackle. Daquan Jones a few times, it was him or there was a second-level run, and he just wrapped up and ended it right there. I thought they just muddled things up a lot better in the middle of the line against the run. Again, bad offensive line, banged up offensive line. But this defense, we're waiting for them to do that against anybody in this league. So you got to take some confidence out of that.
I did think the fourth down stop in the first quarter was a turning point because that drive looked very similar to drives against Cincinnati and Pittsburgh, yep, where Chicago was able to move the ball down the field. And then after that fourth down stop, Chicago's offense just looked completely anemic.
Yeah, it took a long time. It's like they just went away until it's 24-3, and then, you know, it's a very different type of defense you're facing then.
Let's go back to our 102.5 The Game text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texture that says, the Titans defense played some aggressive press coverage at times. Several plays I thought defensive backs were going to draw penalties for illegal contact on the receiver. But we've talked about maybe playing a little bit more press coverage, maybe being a little bit more physical at the line of scrimmage with receivers. Did you notice that out of the Titans, and maybe specifically Malcolm Butler yesterday?
Well, for sure. Yeah, for sure with him. And that's exactly how you need to play Allen Robinson. And he did, and those other guys didn't hurt him. I mean, I think Miller had a play. I guess Miller had 5 for 59. The thing is, all these numbers, you look at them now, and it's like they all got inflated late. Mooney had 5 for 43. You know, everybody backed off, and they got the short stuff. Jimmy Graham had the 120-yarder early that I think he beat Borders on that one, if I'm not mistaken. It's a nice throw by Foles, you know, but he ends up with 6 for 55. But, yeah, I thought they were more aggressive at the line at times. There probably was some handsy play, but, hey, make the officials call that stuff. You know, that's what you do. And if you get away with it, keep doing it. So I thought that's the thing. With Borders, I have no idea where it's going to go from here. Kareem Orr and Ty Smith weren't available yesterday, but Borders is definitely physical. I think you can certainly say that after this game, and tackling with physicality too.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that asked, is there any sort of update on Adoree Jackson? Will he play this season? I would like to have him back.
Yeah, I will say yes, just like I say every week. He is playing, promise. I would not look for him Thursday, I guess. The deadline is Wednesday to activate him. Mike Vrabel said last week, I think it was Friday, you know, they don't expect him to miss the season. They don't expect him to be out for the season. Right now they're just obviously not comfortable putting him in a game. He had the knee injury that has not been specified. And he, again, has been on the practice field now the last 3 weeks, and I have no idea how he's any different than he ever was when I watch him run. There's no sleeves on either knee. He's running around fine. But, I think erring on the side of caution is always a good idea. He'll be activated this week. They're certainly not going to just give up. And then I don't know. He may have a few games as an inactive and not on the 48 who are active, but – there's absolutely reason to believe he'll play this year, and I would think soon. That's all I got. Man, Dr. Rexroad is telling you he looks good out there, you know?
And the grade A videos you take out there lead me to believe he looks good
as
well.
Yes, exactly. Thank you. Thank you for that. I wonder if this week, maybe tomorrow might be the only open day. So I'll try to take a really long Adoree Jackson video for you if he's out there. But again, he hasn't been out there every day. That's another thing. Like, he'll be out there. I think last week he was out there Wednesday, looked great, and then he was not out there Thursday and Friday. But the same thing the week before. So I don't think it was a setback. I think it's a medical plan that they're not letting us in on. And maybe they know the timetable. And he's going to be back for, the Ravens game on the 22nd. You know, I don't know. But it will happen.
When we come back, is there a growing area of concern for the Titans offensively after the way the game went yesterday? We'll discuss that on the other side of the break. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Third down and two, and taking a shot to Brown downfield. He makes the catch, and he gets in for the touchdown.
I kind of drilled it into Ryan's head all week. Whenever it's play call, and I get the opportunity to be one-on-one, throw this ball. And he trusts me, and I made a play for him, you know. So hopefully we can keep it going.
That was A.J. Brown yesterday after the game. A big Titans win, 24-17 against the Chicago Bears to improve to 6-2 on the season. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth taking you through this Monday morning. What a phenomenal throw that was on the touchdown to A.J. Brown yesterday. Ryan Tannehill, he didn't have a great day yesterday, but that throw specifically on that touchdown from A.J. Brown in the first half, about as good as you could throw a football. Just incredible.
That was big time. That was absolutely big time because it was very good coverage with the safety coming over. Eddie, I think it was Eddie Jackson, got there a little late, but that you couldn't place a football better than he placed that ball right there. And then later, you know, it's 17-3, and that now the Titans had, I think the Titans had the ball for about 9 seconds in the third quarter. They had, the Bears went forever, forever and ever. Titans had a three and out. Bears went forever and forever, you know. But it's 17-3. They finally got on the board, and he rips them right down the field. That was also a key drive. Big time. A couple of times where he really hung in there. He found Jonnu Smith for that big play over the middle, and they hit Smith in the end zone. But, yeah, it's just the numbers are very limited, 10 for 21. He also had, I think, what, about four drops yesterday?
Yeah.
I mean, Ferks are dropping the ball. Very
Davis dropped one,
see.
Which was, I mean, the defender got his hand in there, but
well, that was there was another one Davis dropped though. That was all he was all alone. So, kind of a discombobulated day again. That's where it's like if you're gonna say, man, good job Titans defense. Wait, the Bears suck. Well, let's also flip it around. The Bears are great on defense. That's one of the best defenses they'll see the rest of the way. The funny thing is, I think the next three games, this is all going to be the very toughest stuff for their offense right here. Colts, Ravens, Colts, right after the Bears, and it'll feel like vacation after that.
Right. Yeah, and to your point, I mean, especially in the first half yesterday, I mean, the running game wasn't working. Really the only thing they were doing offensively was getting the ball to A.J. Brown. I think he had a 38-yarder, made some great moves on that play to set up the field goal eventually by Gostkowski and then the touchdown play there. But A.J. Brown really was the only thing working for the Titans in the first half yesterday offensively.
Yeah, and they had another, you know, go route that it was weird. It was like he sort of stopped and looked back for the ball, and I think if he runs through it, that might be another bomb for a touchdown to him. So, yeah, he ends up getting targeted 9 times. You know, look at these numbers. So Brown gets targeted 9 times. He has 4 catches for 101. Like you said, he had the catch and run. He had the 40-yarder we talked about. Ferks are targeted 6 times, and then, you know, it's just 2 for Jonnu, 1 for Batson, 3 for Corey Davis. Corey Davis, no stats yesterday.
Yeah. And to that point, let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texture that says, have we noticed that week by week, A.J. Brown will get 100 yards, and then the next game has nothing, but Corey Davis gets 100 yards, but when A.J. Brown has 100 yards, Corey Davis does nothing? Like, they seem to be flip-flopping back and forth.
They're alternating, yeah. Yeah, you're both not going to have big days when you run a total of 55 offensive plays.
Yeah.
The Bears ran 75 by comparison. The Titans got outgained 375 to 228. So really, this was basically the best defensive performance and the worst offensive performance of the year by the Titans.
Yeah. And that's 3 weeks in a row, obviously since Taylor Lewan has gone down, that the Titans' offense has not been quite as productive as we've seen. Is that becoming a concern for you at this point, or do you just chalk it up to Pittsburgh's a really good defense, Chicago's a really good defense, and you had a bad day against Cincinnati?
I think there's no question that you just have a different situation right now without Taylor Lewan. It's just how it is. So the protection yesterday against an admittedly terrific, you know, Roquan Smith had a sack. He's a stud. Hakeem Hicks is a stud. I thought they did a very good job on Khalil Mack.
Yeah.
They knew they had to, and that's what teams do. I mean, kind of like the Bears knew they had to stop Derrick Henry. They had to do what they needed to do, and they did a great job. The Titans did a great job against their great player, Khalil Mack. But it's going to be different. I mean, I think they're going to be scratching and clawing to get where they need to get on the scoreboard in the next three games too. And part of that is Lewan. It's just how it is. But you got to move forward. I think the big thing now, Roger Saffold gets that shoulder injury, does not return, goes to the locker room, doesn't return to the game. Jameel Douglas came in, seemed to do a fine job, but that's Think about that left side and how different that is. You go Lawan Saffold to Sombrilo Douglas.
It's a pretty big difference.
Yes.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ron text in, I think our running game was okay, but Henry didn't get enough carries. I feel like he was getting started and then they'd pull him. I really think he could have had 100-plus yards yesterday in that game with more carries.
Well, we're going to have Corey Curtis on today, and he asked a good question about that of Vrabel and of Henry. The idea of, you guys know that the Colts are coming Thursday. Was there a little bit of a strategy of, let's not have a 30-carry day for Derek and then trot him right back out there for this huge game at the top of the AFC South? And I think, but Vrabel's answer was kind of, they've kind of been thinking that way anyway. I mean, we saw it against Cincinnati. Deonte Foreman comes in and gives them a little bit. You know, McNichols, those guys had 7 carries between them. Henry has 21. So I think that there's definitely a plan to try to just keep that workload at a certain level, and I think it's a smart plan.
Well, it is because, I mean, think back to the start of the season when Henry's getting, you know, 32 carries a game. I mean, that's, we talked about him being on a pace to set an NFL record for carries in a season. That's obviously not the case anymore, but you want to manage his workload as well as you can. I think they've done a better job of doing that lately. And to your point earlier, the Titans just didn't run a whole lot of plays in that game either. You didn't have a whole lot of opportunities to run the ball. You think about what they have, 31 rushes total yesterday, and then 21 passing attempts by Tannehill.
Right.
I mean, it's not very many offensive snaps.
Yeah, I mean, he carried the ball on 21 of their 55 offensive plays. You know, I mean, Tannehill, yeah, like you said, 21 throws. They did not have the ball. I'll look at the possession time, but it was pretty lopsided.
In the third quarter, they only had the ball for, I want to say, 2 minutes and like 40 seconds or something like that. It was incredible.
Yeah.
How much Chicago had the ball. Now, obviously, in the third quarter is also where, you know, you force the fumble. Desmond King picks it up and runs it back. So that cuts into a possession there because you score a defensive touchdown. But Chicago dominated possession in the second half.
Yeah, so 34-26 is the time of possession, which actually seems low to me the way the game went. But, yeah, the Bears did a good job. Henry had the 126-yarder, and you got to turn it right back around here. I mean, this is the big one coming up, you know? So you got to think about those things when you play in a game like this.
When you look at the passing game yesterday, A.J. Brown, 4 receptions, Jonnu Smith with 2, both of them came at the very end of the game. On the last touchdown drive the Titans had, Jonnu Smith with a big catch to bring it down to the 2-yard line, then catches the touchdown on the next play. Like you said before, no receptions for Corey Davis. Cam Batson finishes with 1. Ferkser with 3 receptions, even though he had a couple of drops in there. It just seemed like yesterday, Tannehill, he was looking for A.J. Brown, and if it wasn't going to A.J. Brown, it was a struggle pretty much everywhere else in the passing game.
Yeah, and let's not forget that Adam Humphries is that third down guy. And Ferkser has been that too, and dropped 1 on that first drive when maybe they can go in for a touchdown. But Humphries is a significant loss, and maybe he'll be able to get back for this one. That's a 3rd and 5, 3rd and 6. It's hard for teams to stop him right off the line from getting a 6-7 yard catch, and they missed him yesterday. But I think at times too, it was the protection collapsed quickly on Tannehill quite a few times.
It did, and going back to Jonnu, like, I think that's a big reason why against Pittsburgh and against Chicago, he hadn't really been that much of a factor offensively. 2 catches yesterday, both on the same drive. They're having to stay in and protect a lot against pass rushes like Chicago and Pittsburgh. They right now, their line just really isn't equipped to handle guys like that.
No, it's exactly right. And that's exactly what you take a guy out of normally what you would send him out to do, and you have to bring him in. Then Michael Pruitt gets rolled up on yesterday.
That was really bad.
That was ugly. I hope he's – it's one of those things where you hope it's like a hyperextension and it's not a serious ligament thing, but that would be a huge loss. Terrific blocker. Guy who can give you a catch. You know, they've got Jeff Swaim that they can bring in. But, yeah, hopefully that's not as bad as it looked, because that was one of those awful just getting rolled up on plays that you – ugh, the worst.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that says, I think we're saving Derrick Henry. Remember, winter is coming. We all know what Derrick Henry does in the wintertime. He makes grown men make business decisions. I like that.
Well, that event was poetic almost.
That was good.
Who was that?
No name.
Okay.
But they deserve credit for that. That was good.
The winter is coming.
I feel like I'm watching Game of Thrones.
I was just going to say, it made me think of that awful show.
You're not a big Game of Thrones fan?
My wife's a huge. I couldn't do it. Just the gore.
Yeah, see, I don't mind that, but it's just I couldn't get over some
sex scenes. Just come on.
Some certain things that happened in the first couple episodes. I was like, okay, what are we doing here?
But the obsession with that show. Yeah, Henry is what the North from the North,
making business decisions. I like that. Like your boy last night, Taysom Hill. The Buccaneers were making some business decisions trying to tackle that guy.
Oh, boy.
Taysom Hill running all over the place last night. Did you see him?
Yeah. Oh, man. Oh, yeah. Now he's great again. He's good to use as a fun little guy in a blowout.
You're such a hater. Such a hater. By the way, Taysom Hill.
Well, I know we'll talk about the whole NFL, but karma. Karma, Tampa Bay. Karma. Go pick up Antonio Brown.
When we come back, we will get into the disaster that was the Tennessee Vols this weekend at Arkansas. What did we make of the game, and where is this program right now under Jeremy Pruitt? We'll get into all of that coming up next. Also, get your reaction, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025 on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesale Link Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Here on ESPN 102.5, The Game.
Every dating app swipe is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight-up losers. So now the only app I open is Moto Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them, while everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas-style games. Moto Casino, the only app worth your time.
Moto Casino, it's a social casino. Void where prohibited, no purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.